Turn your Bibles to what many believe to be the first creed that was passed down, because Paul said, I received it. And then later in this passage, he said, I saw him as well. Easter, according to the Nicene Creed, part 9, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 737, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1102, since January the 1st, 2016. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the most important message, the most important news in the history of the world. People who have been saved like me for 40 years, we still have not gotten over it. And we say to God every now and then, I don't understand it all, but I believe it all, and I thank you, God, for it all. Amen, somebody. It is the most perfect story ever told, the gospel. Paul said, which I preached unto you. He didn't say he put on a play about it. He didn't say he made a movie about it. He preached it. He didn't write the gospel to them. He preached it. And that's what preachers need to be doing, by the way. And Dr. Franklin said yesterday that the problem with America are the pulpits of America, with preachers who are afraid to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Amen, somebody. I can't preach long today, but I feel like it. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. Let me finish verse 1. Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Believe it or not, that's good news. That's why we call it Good Friday. According to the scriptures, all up in the Old Testament, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, all up in the Old Testament. Excuse me, somebody. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. So at least 251 of these men who saw Jesus were still living at the time. At least that. Probably more than that. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, Paul said, he, Jesus, was seen of me also. And you have to understand that Paul was a persecutor of Jesus and the Jesus way and Jesus's people. He killed them and stood by while others killed them. And last of all, he was a terrorist. Paul was a terrorist against Christians, just like the terrorists who killed those 310 souls over in Sri Lanka. And last of all, he was seen of me, Paul, also as of one born out of due time. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant me your grace, your anointing, your unction, the power of your Holy Spirit, the liberty of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word, to preach your holy gospel today. And Lord, help me to stay within the time restraints that are upon me today as we have to go to another meeting. And Lord God in heaven, I do pray, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. I thank you so much for all of our friends and all of the wonderful comments, all of the amens and all of the likes and all of the invites that people do on their own. I've never really asked them to do that. And we thank you, Lord, for all of our friends on Periscope times two. Two cameras, camera lines are going out of here. Facebook Live times two. And Lord, thank you for these people who created these platforms to allow me to do this. And we don't want to do anything to offend them, but I must preach your holy word as it is and as you give it to me. And we thank you, Lord, for a Spreaker Live via podcasting and our friends there who have stood with us almost since the beginning, almost 2,000 messages ago. And Lord, of course, on our own sites and platforms and other platforms, we thank you that you allow us to preach the gospel around the world every day. And thank you for the privilege. And Lord, we pray for over 3 million souls to come to know you as Savior, 3 million Christians to be revived, your holy name glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan always horrified at the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Stay with you long today. I can't stay with you long, for we have another meeting that we have to go to, and we have to get on up out of here shortly. But until then, regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, and I want to thank God for my oldest son, Daniel White the fourth, who helps me in putting together all of these sermons and series and has been helping me for years. I give credit to where credit is due. He's not a perfect young man, and he messes up every now and then, but this is one thing, by the grace of God, he's done well, and I thank God for all of my children who have helped me in the ministry. And I raise them up to serve the Lord. And when they leave here, they serve the Lord in greater capacities in other places. And that is my greatest success in life. All of my children are serving the Lord today. And so you pray for them. And pray that the devil stays off their back. Because the devil doesn't like this. He is seeking to destroy every family he can, particularly gospel-bearing families, and he's not playing. So pray for my children as they continue to serve the Lord. So regarding 1 Corinthians 15, 6, Thomas Coke said the appearance to the 500 was probably in Galilee, where our Savior had a very great number of disciples. This is so far from being an objection to the truth of our Savior's resurrection, that it is a glorious proof of the contrary. Had it been an imposture, so many false hearts and tongues could never have acted in concert, nor would they all have kept the secret. Now, you know, folk can't keep secrets. It's not in our nature to keep secrets. It's got to come out. I'm reminded of a young lady who was telling her girlfriend a secret, and she told the girlfriend to her face, don't you go put it in your little articles you write for your little paper, or your online paper, or whatever you're doing. And the next scene was she was writing exactly that in her paper. People just don't keep secrets. That's why you better not tell people any secrets. And in fact, dear Christian friend, you are not to have any secrets. You are not to have any secrets. Don't tell people not to tell something, because that's exactly what they're going to do. Before the day is out, they're going to tell on you. So, and that's how it was back then. 500 people, 1,000 people couldn't just keep a secret like that, man. Nor would they all have kept the secret, which remorse, interest, and perhaps often torture might urge them to divulge. End of quote. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today we are continuing our series drawn from the Word of God, the Holy Bible. As I have told you, you have to say all of that today because people don't know what the Word of God is. They think that their words are the word, are the words of God. Many people think that foolishly think that. And a historical text document based on the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that makes it plain, that was passed down from the early church all the way to us today, called the Nicene Creed. In this series, we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith, not only Easter, that was passed down to us from the early church. How that we as Christians who are now falling away, so many of us, we don't even resemble the early church today in most churches. We have fallen away from the Word of God and from the Nicene Creed. And some of our evangelical churches, some of our Bible-believing churches, our Baptist churches, our Bible churches are falling away too, and they don't even realize it. And you know how they're falling away? They're falling away by following little idea pastors who are big on ideas and small on the Word of God. If you watched the little town hall debate last night, Warren was named the ideas woman, but she's losing. And we have a bunch of idea pastors, and they're losing ground with God and with souls being saved, truly born again. Let me remind you now, when you trust Christ as Savior, Christ is going to change you. So you can take that for what it's worth. And we ought to return to the old landmarks, the old time religion, and to the old church faith that produces disciples who believe and who live it out and who are willing to die for Christ. I'm reminded of the story from this tragic bombing over in Sri Lanka The girls and boys had just sung in Sunday school and talked about how that they would be willing to die for Christ. And within a few minutes, they were dying for Christ. How you doing out there, dear Christian friends? Because it is equally important to live for Christ. How you doing? And ladies and gentlemen, the world ought to hear the old time gospel, ought to hear about the early church faith and religion, so that they can believe on Christ in a very real sense. Regarding the purpose of the Nicene Creed, Dr. Robert Goff said, one of the purposes of the creed was to give a continuity to Christianity, something that we can pass on. When one generation dies off, we know exactly what we believe. As it expanded over the world, that is the gospel, Christianity, as the faith spread across the globe, it found itself interacting with the customs and practices of the indigenous people. In many instances, new converts found themselves adopting the practices of Christianity in conjunction with their old way of life. And this has happened across the globe, and some of us have not handled that well. In fact, I would venture to say that the biggest problem in Christianity today is we have our ways and God has His, and we don't line up with His. We like our little customs in our little black Christian faith and in our little white Christian faith. We have a certain way we do things based upon our customs. And that's why it is so beneficial to have something passed down to us from the early church. He goes on to say, this led to a myriad of heretical beliefs. The creed gave a firm theological basis for universal Christian faith in all languages and in all cultures and in all customs and doctrine, so that as the faith spread globally, its core beliefs, its core tenets would stay firm. End of quote. Amen, somebody. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in this series, we have looked at the following factual statements from the Nicene Creed based upon the Word of God. We believe in one God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through Him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. And today, beloved, we will continue looking at the next section of the New Nicene Creed, which deals with the resurrection and the evidence, the proof, the eyewitnesses of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women. the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. From the words of the Nicene Creed, we see three important facts about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the necessity of Jesus' resurrection. We have looked at the unlikely evidence for Jesus' resurrection, that women were the first to find the empty tomb and the first to declare the risen Lord. Today we are looking at further eyewitness testimony of the resurrection. Jesus was also seen alive by his disciples and over 500 other brethren of Peter, of James, and last of all of Paul. These are men and women who met with, talked with, and ate with Jesus after his crucifixion. They saw him die. He was truly dead. Even that became an issue back in those days. Some were saying that he did not die, that somehow he just was, he swooned, whatever that means. That he did not truly die. No, but they saw him die. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day. It is impossible that all of them were hallucinating, experiencing flashbacks, or fabricating a story. Paul even adds in his letter, the greater part of these eyewitnesses remain alive unto this present day. Go and talk with them. But some are fallen asleep or have died. He says most of these guys are still alive. You don't have to take my word for it. Go ask them. And ladies and gentlemen, so many of us as Christians have done a disservice to many people, because this is a part of the gospel. God put it in there to silence the critics, to convince the skeptics, and we have somehow in our present day have left it out. Because the first question a critic or a skeptic is going to ask, Danae, is how do I know that's true? Well, it's built into the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. Eyewitness testimony. The disciples and brethren who saw Jesus alive went on to establish the church in Jerusalem. Jesus' crucifixion was a major event in the life of the city and of that region. Historians tell us that the population of Jerusalem was normally about 100,000 people. But during Passover, the city's population swelled to around 3 million as Jews from all over the diaspora traveled to the city for the commemoration. Everybody knew what had happened to Jesus, not only in Jerusalem, but in the surrounding areas as people left the city and traveled back home. It would have been ridiculous for Jesus' followers to begin preaching that Jesus was alive when everybody knew he had just died, unless he actually was alive, and he was. The disciples preaching about a risen Jesus only got them persecuted and ridiculed and even killed. And that is yet another evidence that the resurrection really happened. Dr. Jonathan Morrow said the earliest disciples would have known, not just believed, but would have known that either Jesus was who he claimed to be and was actually raised from the dead, or they were making this thing up. And yet history tells us that we have good reason to think they all went to their death, with the exception of one, for that core belief that Jesus was raised from the dead. They didn't recant that. Conspiracies break down under pressure, and this conspiracy would have cost them their lives, but it never broke down. And so, my beloved, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, was buried, and rose again on the third day. I have so much more to tell you, but I have to go. Do you know him as your Savior? If not, allow me to tell you how you can trust him as your Savior today. To save your soul from the power of sin and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for your sin. And you know this is true, you know this in your heart. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Another way I can approach this is to ask you this question. If you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? Do you know? It is a very important question to answer, because your life will end one day. In eternity will come after that, and judgment, the Bible says. We're all appointed to death, and then after this, the judgment. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now if you have not trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a real place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, and he preached more on hell than most preachers today. Hell is bad news. Eternity in hell is terrible news. But I have some good news for you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Curtis Hudson said, this is the gospel in a nutshell. Nobody said it better than Jesus himself. For God so loved the world, that includes you. Makes no difference who you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, white or black. For God so loved the world, no matter what you have done, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. None of that. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and receive the free gift from God, salvation through Jesus Christ. If you're ready to do that, pray with me the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I've broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my trespasses, and my transgressions. As I now believe the best way that I know how on Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I believe with all of my heart that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Now, Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change. Help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And by his grace, we love you. And may God bless you real good. He is our prayer.